y'all hear me? Am I live? I see a red button, a red light. I hear something, I think. There we go. Well, good morning to everyone. It's an awesome day because it's a day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
Amen. No, it's funny when situations like this happen and some of those essential, what they call non-essential essentials.
Yeah.
Yesterday I had my alert go off and he had already contacted all the customers, but my barber, he goes, I'm not open. He texts me, he goes, just so you know, brother, because I have a every other week a 9 o'clock appointment. He says, I'm not open. I said, I remember, I said, I've read your Facebook and I know that, you know, that they shut down what's considered non-essentials, but you start missing those things, man. I know ladies, you know, you got to get your nails and all that other stuff. And yeah, so that's I'm with Pastor. This stuff needs to end. Because I made a joke. I told him, I said, brother, I guarantee when you open up, you're going to have a line of customers because there's going to be a lot of people looking like wolves. But it's good to just realize that in times like this, God is not moved. He's still on the throne. I mean, someone, and it made me so mad, someone on Twitter, they had posted something. And they said, all you great prophets, how come you didn't prophesy about coronavirus? And I just couldn't let it go. I was like, you know what? I said, if you read your Bible, Matthew 24 told you about coronavirus and any other virus that's ever been. Because he said in the last days there would be pestilence, and pestilence is disease and epidemics and pandemics. And so read the Bible, because the word says it's a more sure word of prophecy. So I don't need someone to stay up, thus saith the Lord, coronavirus. No, Matthew 24 took care of that. And it said it would be more to come, yeah. Is what it says in that scripture. So I'm not really worried about this because this is just the flavor of the month. it's gonna be something else. The thing and the thing that we have to be mindful of is how are we seeing it? How are we seeing it? And so today we're going to talk about perspective. Perspective. John has done an awesome job the last few weeks talking about, you know, no reason for us to walk in fear. And a lot of times what will cause us to walk in fear is what we're looking at,
yes.
What we're focusing on. And so God laid this on my heart the other day, and I posted it on Facebook. It was just an impression that he gave. And it said, your perspective will determine your reality. What and how are you seeing? See, because it's important not only what you're looking at, but also how you're looking at whatever it is you're looking at. Those things will determine the course of your life. The definition of perspective is a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something, a point of view. Many times, especially when we're faced with uncertainty, the temptation arises for us to take things at face value or look for solutions from outside sources. This is why our faith must be laser focused on the truth of it is written, because in that we find who we are, what we have, and why we exist in the anointed Redeemer.
Yes.
The Word of God says it's in him we live, we move, we breathe, we have our being. So especially in times of uncertainty, we have to be laser focused on that reality. It has to be so real to us that all these outside things that are screaming, they're saying the death toll is rising, such and such is happening. No, I can't be focused on that. I got to be focused on the Word of God and the promises of who it says I am in Christ Jesus. The scripture also tells us, and we notice it says that we are in the world, where we're not of the world. This doesn't mean that we're excused from the issues of life and we just live in Utopiaville. But it does mean that with the greater one living on the inside of us, we can walk the victorious life that he purchased for us. Word of God says that we were purchased with a price. And so in the last week, we had our Zero Gravity devotional call, and Brother Tim says something, also coupled with something that Pastor Richard said that I'm going to talk about and I'm gonna kind of remind you all of. But Brother Tim said this, and I can't get it out of my heart. It's been stirring all week. Brother Tim said that it might be a time to stand down, but it's not time to stand still. Pastor Richard's been saying that we are moving forward, we're going forward, we're taking ground. I've never been in the military, so I don't know a whole lot, but I do know this. If there's a war situation, they're not always fighting. They're not just in a constant situation of just fight, 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 fight. No. There comes a time that they have to do something, and it's called they have to strategize. Yes. They have to plan. They have to have a reason and an understanding of how the attack is going to go. And then sometimes they just got to rest. But they're not, I want you to realize, they're not in a constant state of fight, fight, fight. And I believe that we are in a divine setup right now. We're in a holding pattern for what God is going to do after all this is done. The fields are going to be so white with harvest. And so it's going to be important for us to understand what our strategy is, who God is destined for us to interfere with and intercept in the process of all this stuff. I heard a man of God say this, and it blessed me so much, a local pastor here. He said that, once again, looking at the idea of perspective, he says, some of y'all in the body of Christ, you've been woe out since 2008, 2018. You've been so tired. You've been going here and there. God has given you an opportunity to get all the rest, all the rest that you need. And then second of all, many people have said, man, you know what? If I had the time, I would work on that book or I'd write that song. You got plenty of time. You don't have a bit of excuse. Right now, you're in your house. You can be in the presence of God getting those witty ideas and witty inventions, and you can work on that something that you've dreamed of doing all these years. Now you got a perfect opportunity to do it. Rather than complain about why we can't get out. God has locked us in so we can become strategized and ready to do his will in the earth after all this is done. Perfect time to be seeking his face to fulfill that dream that's on the inside of you. So there's no excuse but just to do it. So what we're going to do, I don't have a lot of time. I want to go through these passages. And I want us to look at these two scriptures, very familiar stories in the Word of God, and look at them from the idea of the perspective, looking at how we see things. So I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 14. We're going to hold our place there because we're going to go somewhere else in a few minutes, but we're going to come back to this same chapter. But Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 14. And it says, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, O Lord, it is because there is no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is it not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in this wilderness. These are the same people that a few scriptures beyond, but before this, God delivered them out of all kinds of plagues, even the worst plague of them all, when all the firstborn of the Egyptians was dying. They saw the great hand of deliverance of God, and they get to this place, and their perspective has totally changed because they're looking at what they see rather than what they've experienced God do. And so many of us in the body of Christ, and during the midst of this stuff, we want to blame it on this. We want to say this happened. No, none of it happened other than the reason God wants you in your place as a believer. He wants me in my place as a believer seeking his face for what he wants us to do when all this is subsided. And this funny thing is that they want to blame Moses, and he was the deliverer that God used to bring them out. And they want to go back to slavery. They want to go back to where God brought them out of. These people were delivered by the mighty hand of God, and just that fast, they forgot about his faithfulness. We can't be caught in that situation because, once again, our eyes have to be on the right thing. But look at verse 13. But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear." That's that word again. "Do not fear." He said, "Stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." That'll preach all day long. Sometimes the best thing for us to do is just close our mouth and let God be God. If we're not going to speak what his words have decreed, Moses was decreeing what he knew God was going to do. And if they would have been in their right minds, they wouldn't have been fearful. They wouldn't have been in complete agreement with him, and they would have been a lot more peaceful. But he said, the reason why you're in this situation is because you're flapping your lips. If you're not going to speak what God says, the best thing for you to do is just to be silent. God's going to fight the battle for us. That's what is happening with coronavirus. The body of Christ needs to continue decreeing what God's word says, and coronavirus, just like any other virus that's ever existed on this earth, is going to bow to the lordship of Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth. It has no choice. Many times the best thing we can do is be silent, especially if our speech does not line up with it is written. Because we get in the way of our own success. Okay, that's one example. Now keep your finger there. We're going to come back there. But I want us to go now to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to look at verse 17. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17. And it says, "Then Jesse said to David, his son, 'Take now your brothers an ephah of this roasted grain and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to your brothers. Bring also these 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of their thousand, and look unto the welfare of your brothers, and bring back news of them. For Saul and they and all of the men of Israel are in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines.' So David arose early in the morning, left the flock with the keeper, and took the supplies, and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry." Now, several things that we see here. We know when Samuel came and looked at the sons of Jesse, there was one that was missing, and it was David, because David was faithful. David was obedient to his father, number one, but he was also faithful to look after that flock, okay? But his dad says, "Now I've got another job for you. I want you to go, and I want you to do these things for your brothers, for the commander of the army." David, still following the obedience and faithfulness of what he was placed in charge, he put somebody in charge of the flock. He didn't just leave them. I want you to see his attitude. I want you to see attitude a lot of times will also determine perspective, okay? So he leaves the keeper because he didn't want to just leave the sheep. That wouldn't have been faithful to the command that God had called him, that his father had called him to do. And then he gives the keeper the job to watch, and then he goes out. So he goes out, and we're going to look at the rest of this. So verse 21, it says, "Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. And as he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke these same words that he had spoke earlier, which was like, 'Bring me somebody to fight. Bring me your best champion.' He spoke those words, and David heard them. And when all of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid." There's that word again. "Then the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he's coming to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free of Israel.' Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, and he said, "What will be?" I didn't ask you anything, Siri. "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" Now, once again, going back to this attitude, now he's on the battlefield bringing the stuff, the stuff that his father gave for his brothers and other people, and he immediately understands that there's great fear in this camp. These people are afraid. They're like, "We don't stand a chance." While they're looking at something that looks like an unsurmountable task, David sees an opportunity. David is like, "Okay, now what do I get for doing this? Let me know a little bit more about this. I see an open door." See, some people see lemons. Other people see lemonade. They see the bitter, but the people of God see the sweet. Then verse 27, it says, "The people answered him in accord with this word, saying, 'This will be done for the man who kills him.' Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, 'Why have you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down here in order just to see the battle.'" Haters gonna hate. Haters gonna hate. When you see an opportunity, some people are not gonna like the fact that you're not in the mully grubs with them. "Why are you thinking like that? Don't you realize what's happening?" No, yeah, you think like that, and I'm going to think with the eyes of faith and see. Yes. I'm going to see what God has in store. Yeah. So his brother was, and maybe some of the other ones too, were like, "Why is he down here? What is this little kid going to do?" But David saw an open door. He saw an open door. And it said, David said in verse 29, he said, "What have I done now?" It's just a question. I'm just asking a question. But then he turned away from them. "I'm not listening to you. Talk to the hand." And he said the same thing, and the people answered the same as before. So David, we see, is on a mission. He didn't care what his brothers or anyone thought. We have to have that same mindset coming out of this stuff, that no matter what it takes, no matter what we have to do, our eyes, like the word, like the song that we sing, and it's based in the word of God. It says our eyes are fixed like a flint to the promises that God has in store for us. Now let's go back to Exodus chapter 14. Let's go back to this. Now, these scriptures that I just gave you, the beginning of them kind of gave us an idea of the importance of perspective. There's another aspect of perspective that I want to talk about, and it's the idea of what's in your house. What's in your hand? There was a widow. She said, "Man, I'm going to just bake this cake, and me and my son, we're going to eat it, and we're going to die." Man of God said, "Nah, I tell you what, give me that cake and watch." And we know the rest of the story. Once again, it's how we see things. If we see with the lens of faith, we just sang. It was so awesome. All the songs that we sang this morning, all of them had to deal with looking through the eyes of faith and seeing the impossible things become possible with him. He is the way maker. He's the one that will do what we can't do for ourselves. So let's look back at chapter 14, verse 15 in Exodus. And we remember the idea of what the people, what they were going through and stuff. And then Moses told them exactly what was going to happen. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As you lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, the sons of Israel will go through the midst of the sea on dry land. And as for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so they will go in after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all of his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen." Where it says, where I'll be honored, you can literally write in there, coronavirus, COVID-19. He is going to be honored in the midst of this craziness, in the midst of what might seem like chaos, those Egyptians coming after the children of Israel, I'm sure in the natural, that looked like complete chaos. We're in no way in the world, if I'm looking through the eyes of the natural, I'm coming out of this. Because they got a lot more army, they got a lot more weapons than we got. So they can wipe us out, but with God. Amen. But with God. And God said, guess what? And it's just amazing that he's orchestrating this whole thing. He says, I'm the one that's hardening Pharaoh's heart. I'm the one that's making it. I'm the one that's making it seem like it's difficult, but I have a plan for my people if they would just trust me. Now notice, it all started. None of this stuff was set in motion after what comes, and I encourage you to read the rest of the chapter, but none of it was put into motion until what? Until Moses raised up that staff and stretched out his hand. The staff that God gave him that delivered them from all those other things that had happened in Egypt, that same staff, what he had as a shepherd in Midian, that same staff drove them to victory. And there's some stuff in your house right now. There's some stuff in your hands that you might think you are not, I'm not able. No, if God put it in your hand, obviously he has a plan for it, and he will allow you in this time of what it might seem like chaos and confusion, he'll allow that thing to be blessed, and you will rise up and walk in the fullness that God has ordained for your life. But nothing happened until Moses was obedient with what God had given him, and those people walked out on dry land. And we know what happened to Pharaoh's army. He never heard from them ever again. Now let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's go back to that passage of scripture talking about David, and let's look at verse 31. It says, when the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for David. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on the count of him, Goliath. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. I was faithful. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has also killed the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, no covenant Philistine, will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, he will also deliver me from the hands of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and may the Lord be with you. So I want us to look here. Saul is focused on one thing, the natural circumstances. You young, he bigger than you. It don't look like this is going to work out, David. You're going to lose. This guy's been Mr. T in training since a baby, okay? And you look like a baby, okay? So I don't see how this is going to work out. But David is not clearly looking at the natural. He's looking through the eyes of the supernatural and seeing that he is faithful because of the faithfulness of God. And the fact that he, once again, he's giving you a discourse of my life. I was faithful, first of all, of my dad's sheep. And even when they got attacked, now keep in mind, he's young. So he had to deal with a bear, he had to deal with a lion, and he defeated both of them. So he's knowing, based on that, because of God's faithfulness to bring me out of each one of those situations, this ain't nothing for a stepper. Yes, yes, yes. The world, guess what? Those of you watching, we've been through Ebola, we've been through H1N1, swine flu. We gonna come out of this one. This is nothing for us, because we see on the other side of it that there is a faithful God. Yes, yes, yes. Then verse 38, it says, then Saul clothed David with his garments, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. And David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, and he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them off, and he took his stick in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even his own pouch, and his sling in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. See, what Saul was giving him was considered the normal ways to fight. This is a normal, this is how we just deal with this. You know, make sure you got a bunch of Tylenol in your house. Make sure you're not saying nothing wrong with Tylenol, but I'm just saying people make steps to get sick. We prepare for the sickness rather than prepare for victory. So David says, I can't deal with this stuff because, first of all, I haven't proved this. This is not me. I'm trying to put on something that I know is not going to work for me because I haven't proved it. But I'm going to go get what I have in my house because I know the sling and I know these smooth stones that I'm getting, they work with the bear, they work with the lion. So that's what I'm saying. We don't need to take any outside sources to make us victorious. We need to walk with what God has already given us, and those things will lead us out in the victory that he's ordained for us to walk in. Amen. So that's the thing that we need to do, church, is be mindful of what we're keeping our eyes focused on. Get an understanding that the only thing that will lead us to victory is it is written, and meditating on the very promises of God. Because I guarantee there's so many things now, especially that we're home, there's so many things that are going to be vying for our attention. But what you choose to focus on is going to determine your destiny. I guarantee you. And guess what? They're giving us money. They're giving us, what a way to have some money to start a new business, a new idea. They're giving it to you. So there's so many opportunities that, and so many new businesses and ministries are going to be birthed out of this. You mark my word. Because those are the people that right now, they got a strategy in place, they got a plan in place, and they're ready for when all this is over, the launch is going to take place. Got a text the other day. This was really, I was like, why? But I understood immediately, and that's what started inspiring this message. But Tim sends me an email. He's like, yeah, brother, we're going to have a 2021 strategy meeting. We're still in 2020. But the eyes of faith see that it's time for us to let loose what's on the inside of us. During this time, I would encourage you, get before God. Ask him, what is my part in the earth of being salt and light? To show people, just as my brother John was saying eloquently in the last few assemblies, that we don't have to walk in fear. People are looking to us for the answers. We have the answer because he's inside of us. God will give us witty ideas and inventions to demonstrate him in the earth. So we just have to be, we have to be open to that. We have to be open to his revelation that he's planting on the inside of us. And like I said, a lot of times it starts with what's in your hand. You know, there's a story of, you know, a lady, I can't remember exactly who it was, but she wanted to be a blessing, and she realized that she had all this unopened Avon. It had just been stored away. And God used that to bless people. There's so many things that in our house we've forgotten we have. And some things that we have, we just haven't used them. But this is the time. This is the time for us to understand the plan that he has for us. And this is what the Lord showed me. So I started laughing when I was writing my notes. He says it's time for us to get unplugged from the matrix and see things as they truly are in him. Any of y'all remember that movie? They was plugged in the matrix and they saw a false reality. But it took them having to literally get unplugged to see how things really were. And once they saw how things really were, it changed the whole direction of how they lived, and so it's important for us to get unplugged because there are many things, like I said, that are vying for our attention. It's important in this time and this season for us to be laser focused on the truth of God's word. Don't, and I'm about to close, but I'll close with this. Don't allow your perspective to be problem polluted, but rather purpose pursuant. Amen. I'm going to repeat that. Don't allow your perspective to be problem polluted. It's real easy to look at all the things that are not right and this shouldn't. No, don't allow your perspective to be focused there, but let it be purpose pursuant. I'm pursuing the purpose that God has for my life, that God has for us as a church body, and that's where we're going to go. Because as the man of God says, we're moving forward, we're taking ground. Let's stay in that mindset throughout all of this and watch what God is going to do. He's going to do great things on our behalf if we stay focused on who he is and who we are in him. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Pastor.
Praise God. Excellent word, brother. Thank you. Very timely, very needed. I'd like to point out one thing that he said at the beginning when he was defining perspective. He said, a particular attitude. Now, attitudes can be good, they can be bad, but a particular attitude, and what my experience is, I can control my attitude. So I need to find that particular attitude and not force myself, but maybe force myself to choose that attitude of this is the way God sees it, this is the way I'm going to see it. A particular attitude. Very good, brother. Thank you. And to the naysayers that you mentioned at the beginning, there were prophecies given back in the fall, even last summer. I think Chuck Pierce was one who predicted or who prophesied that the, I don't know that he actually called it the coronavirus, but he called it a plague that would come in the first part of 2020. So, just people they're not listening. The word is there. Praise God. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I would love to hug your neck and shake your hand, but we'll working on that. But I would encourage you, and if you read my email that I sent out late yesterday afternoon, Brother Kenneth sent an email to his team, the Sunday class team, and he was saying that we need to change the term social distancing to physical distancing because we need to stay social. And whoever came up with that word, they missed it. They missed the whole idea of what social is. But stay in touch with each other. Most everybody is connected on Facebook. That's kind of like the hub of society right now, is Facebook. You can find anybody and everybody on Facebook. Drop a note, drop a line, drop a picture, drop a video. Stay connected. Just because we're not gathered together in twice a week, in one building, in one place, doesn't mean that we can't stay connected all the time through our social media and those devices. Stay connected. A phone call. Everybody's got a phone. It's not like, you know, I remember growing up, our phone was hanging on the wall right next to the front entrance or the kitchen there. And if anybody wanted to make a phone call, they had to go there. And there was only one. Now, everybody's got them in their pocket. Everybody, including the little ones, they have access to a phone. And, you know, it's not really hard at all to punch a couple of buttons, or you can just talk to the thing, and it'll call somebody for you. It's not hard. And it's readily available. Use your phone. We can be church without physically being together. Now, we are not going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together when that is possible. But we can assemble, like I said a while ago, we can be assembled in the Spirit and still enjoy the unity and the anointing of the Spirit as we unite together. So it's been good. Out of all the time, the free time that you've got now, I guess you've got free time, I don't know. You know, we live in a smaller apartment, so you can only clean so much. Now, there's only so much you can clean, and then you got to do something else. We have been catching up on our sleep. Well, sort of. I'm not going to go into details of that. But maybe not all the way caught up yet. But we were discussing. We went for a walk yesterday afternoon, and I was discussing with him that it's only been 3 days. It's only been 3 days, and we got 2 weeks left to go. It seems like it's been a month already. But God gives us grace, and we have the perspective of the end, and not the end of the plague, but the beginning of a new move of God, a new move, and a total different paradigm shift of what the body of Christ is to be and what we are to do. I'm excited about what God is doing in the earth and in his church, bringing us all together, even though it looks like we're separated. That's the way God works. Keep your perspective in the right attitude, and we will remain blessed and continue to take ground. I thank you for tuning in today. We call you blessed. Whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. You are surrounded with divine favor and his love and his grace. You are his children, taught of the Lord. So great is your peace and undisturbed composure. You have everything you have need of, because he is our provider, he is our strength, he is our Jehovah Jireh. And everything that you put your hand to is blessed and gives glory and honor to God. You are loved, you're blessed. We will see you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Tune in then, and we'll enjoy another time of fellowship and the anointing together. Amen. God bless you. See you on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Bye-bye.